Bonjour. This is Ambassador Hélène, Space Fleet First Contact Mission Specialist. I would like to extend a personal invitation to you to listen to the Destiny of Times podcast, airing on Wednesday, January 6, 2021, at 4 p.m. EST. Author Jan Jordan will share an update on Book One, conduct interviews with me and other USS Destiny crew members, read from the prologue, and a special sneak peek reading from Chapter One, which will be released after the broadcast on our website, thedestinyoftimes.com, and on Wattpad, Jan Jordan at The Destiny of Times. See you around the galaxy.
Good afternoon. I'm Jan Jordan, author and creator of the Destiny of Times new sci-fi series, and I want to welcome you to the Destiny of Times podcast. And now, I would like to bring you a very special reading and a sneak peek of what you're going to find in Chapter 1. Earth date, 2196.3. The bridge on the Space Fleet Command space vessel, the USS Destiny, was abuzz with final preparations for their first contact mission with the Matharians, a race of humanoids in the Zeta sector on the far side of the universe. Todek, leader of the High Council, had contacted FFC about new technology, the WAGS, Wormhole Aperture Guidance System, that would outfit the Destiny with technology that would connect the telemetry of one wormhole with another and string them together from point A to point B. Once the wormholes were interconnected, it would send the ship through each section to its final destination in a matter of seconds, minutes, hours, or days, depending on the distance. Without the Matharian technology, the journey would have taken nearly 900 years, even at maximum speed, and the crew in hypercryostasis. With WAGS, the journey would take only 90 days. And here's another little sneak preview from Chapter 1. The journey to Matharius would take the Destiny across a vast void of space to the Zeta sector on the far side of the universe. The only information Space Fleet knew about the Matharians was from other races who had encountered these guardians, who diligently watched the gateways between universes to ensure no outside influence altered the natural course of any world's evolution. If any interference was detected, the Matharians would dispatch a restoration team and correct the interference, restoring the natural progression of the planet's history. The journey to the rendezvous coordinates at the edge of the Milky Way galaxy was routine. Once the WAGS was engaged and the Destiny was traveling through the wormhole system, the crew relaxed into their duties. The medical and science labs finalized their protocols for the crew and equipment they would bring to Matharius. Tactical and security departments ran continual readiness drills with their teams. Le Bistro, the Destiny's formal dining facility, was testing Earth and Matharian recipes to prepare for the formal first contact dinner. Everything was going according to plan. She fell through the darkness, through the memories, through a nightmare she was told was only a dream. Too many emotions she shouldn't have, but did. Too many memories she shouldn't have, but did. They told her it was just a dream, and the pain would pass. But it hadn't. And she didn't know how much longer she could. What we do today, we do for our children, for our future. She could hear his voice, see his face, feel the warmth of his smile. She could see their children, hear their voices, laughing, talking. They were everywhere. But where were they? His face, their faces began to fade. The abyss returned. The falling started. She tumbled through the darkness as it enveloped her again. Damn, she swore silently. This falling business is getting old. And as promised, I have a very special announcement to make. We have decided to release Chapter 1 free to everyone to promote the new Destiny of Times story series. So you can go to our website, thedestinyoftimes.com, to the shop page, go ahead and select the book 1, add it to your cart, and check out. Make sure your total is 0. Fill in all the information in the form. And once you complete the free purchase of the download, it will give you a link right on that page that you can upload to the device you are on. We are also going to have Chapter 1 available for free on Wattpad. And you can go to Wattpad and look up Jan Jordan at The Destiny of Times. You'll find the introduction, the prologue, which we already previewed for you earlier in the program, and Chapter 1. So thank you for being with us on this podcast this afternoon. We wish you a safe and wonderful evening. And as always, I'll see you around the galaxy. At this time, I would like to introduce some of the characters that you're going to see in the Destiny of Times Chapter 1 download that you are going to be receiving. First, I'd like to introduce Lieutenant Michelle Jones. She is the Chief Communications Officer for the USS Destiny, and growing up, Michelle always dreamed of serving in Space Fleet, despite being told that she should focus on getting married or having children. Her best friends, Cynthia and Paula, encouraged her, and Michelle was accepted right out of high school. Her quick wit and organizational skills landed her a position as communications officer on GEO, the Global Earth Orbiter, which in turn landed her the offer to handle communications on the deep space exploration vessel, the USS Destiny. To follow her story, visit our website, The Destiny of Times, or on social media, at The Destiny of Times on Facebook and Instagram, and at The Destiny of Times on Twitter. And of course, what would a sci-fi spacefaring vessel be without a captain? So I would like to introduce to you Captain Sven Howard, commander of the USS Destiny. Sven wanted to be a space fleet captain from the time he was 2 years old, and by age 5 was building and launching drones, missiles, and jets. By the time Sven was a teenager, he was secretly flying in little small jets with an instructor after school. Sven graduated from high school 2 years early and was the youngest enrollee ever accepted into the Space Fleet U, Space Flight Program. His goal was to command his own space vessel and was well underway to achieving that aspiration when at 28, he was the youngest captain in space fleet history. While over 1,000 officers threw their hat into the ring for the center seat of the Destiny, Space Fleet Commander Colonel Phil Nichols knew he wanted Sven Howard. Captain Howard was in the shipyard every day during the construction of the Destiny and knew everything about her from stem to stern, the placement of every rivet, quantum matrix ion coil, and matter energy conversion computer chip. He worked with the Destiny's chief engineer, Greta Gerig-Martin, in order to adapt every known engineering method to make their quantum ion propulsion drive, QIP, the system safe, and every known propulsion formula to make her faster than any ship in space. And now I'd like to introduce Lieutenant Commander Nick Vassallo, Chief Navigator and Pilot. Although Nick and his family lived in Italy for generations, one of his uncles persuaded the unit to move to Russia, where they were giving away free farmland. After two generations of hard work and little reward, Nick left for the Americas, where he enrolled in night school to learn English and apply to Space Fleet U. There he met the beautiful Giselle Garrick, fell in love, and got married. After spending time at Space Fleet Command and various deep space vessels, the Destiny was Nick and Giselle's first assignment on board the same ship together. The next officer I want to discuss with you is Commander Steve Lebbett, first and science officer of the USS Destiny. From the time Steve could count how many steps to the Jewish deli in Brooklyn Heights, he already had a gift for numbers. He was recruited by MIT and Harvard to model mathematical formula parameters and program models in seventh grade, graduating high school at age 14. He finished college at 18, graduating with a quadruple master's in mathematics, physics, astrobiology, and quantum theory. By age 21, Steve was married to the top medical diagnostic expert in the world and owned the largest statistical probability and quantum theory modeling firm on the planet. When his wife accepted a position as chief medical officer on the state-of-the-art space exploration vessel, the USS Destiny, Steve tossed his hat in the ring for the dual position of first officer and science officer and was immediately offered the position. Another crew member you're going to meet in Chapter 1 is Lieutenant Cynthia Dixon, Chief Tactical Officer. Cynthia grew up in the Midwest in a family of Space Fleet professionals, so naturally she enrolled in Space Fleet U, and although she started out in the communications and dabbled in navigation, she found tactical was her true calling. Her planning and aim were razor sharp, earning her top marks in her qualifying exam. Her performance on the USS San Francisco during the earthquake and subsequent rebuilding of Space Fleet headquarters, along with being friends with the captain, earned her a commission on the USS Destiny. And the final crew member you will meet in Chapter 1 is Dr. Janice Boyd, Commander and Chief Medical Officer. Janice went to work with her father every day in his medical profession until she graduated from school, enrolled in Space Fleet Medical, and became the best medical diagnostician on the planet. Her skills, remedies, and recovery rates were staggering until she was diagnosed with Lyme disease, which caused cancerous growths all over her organs. She took a sabbatical to do research and find a cure. When nothing seemed to work, Dr. Boyd received a potion from an anonymous, mysterious healer, which cured her overnight. Dr. Boyd rejoined Space Fleet and accepted the position on the USS Destiny as Chief Medical Officer to continue her research and study the potion she was given. The disease she had been cured and wanted to help others in order to find a permanent cure for all. Welcome to podcast episode 2. Today, we are going to talk specifically about the crew members that you will meet in Chapter 1, and we're going to talk about some of the tech that some of the crew members are involved with. Now, some of them are not in Chapter 1, but we want to bring all this information to you so when you read Chapter 1, you have a little bit of backstory, which will be able to put Chapter 1 and each crew member in the proper context with for you. And I'm very excited to bring interviews with the crew to you. Now, I must warn you that some of the audio is not as clear as I would like it, but sometimes when you are speaking to people at great distances, there does tend to be some glitches and sounds which muffle the communication. However, I think you'll be able to understand the 99.9% of it. And most of all, I think you'll really enjoy hearing about the journey from the crew member's perspective. Today, when we do interviews with the crew, I'm also going to give you a little backstory on that crew member before their interview, So you can have a context to put the recording you're going to hear into. Although the next three officers I'm going to talk about were unable to make the interview due to previous commitments, I want to also describe these characters for you, because at the end of the podcast, you'll know the exact reason why. Now, before I get the interview started with the crew members from the USS Destiny, I have two very special interviews for you. One from Todek, leader of the High Council of Matharius, and another one from Ambassador Elaine, the Space Fleet First Contact Mission Specialist. So welcome to Episode 2. In Episode 1, we basically introduced the series, brought you a little backstory, and as well as stories about some of the crew members. Now today, I'm going to have interviews for you with some of the crew members, as well as a very special interview from Todek, leader of the High Council of Matharius, and Ambassador Helene, Space Fleet's first contact mission specialist. So without further ado, let's get those interviews started.